Hi there, and welcome to Drunk History Presents The Dark Ride, a Disney Parks podcast hiding in a drinking game. Here we will talk about and rate all of your favorite and not-so-favorite rides and attractions, maybe catch some interesting facts along with our buzz. My name is Ryan, and I am here to talk about The House of Mouse. And this show was started because cool people like this stuff too. So we're here to normalize all you adulting Disney files and have a few beverages while we're at it. And today we're going to get comfy on the mouse couch and unpack some personal history with our reoccurring episode segment of Unpacking Disney, a Disney Adult Deep Dive. And this is part two. What is a Disney adult and what makes them tick? Talk, is it a kid thing? Is it a sickness, a virus caught in your youth and frequent outbreaks throughout life? Well, Wikipedia Lite says that a Disney adult is an adult who is a devout fan of the Walt Disney Company. Common hobbies of Disney adults include visiting Disney theme parks, collecting Disney merchandise, cosplaying as Disney characters, and consuming content from Disney Plus streaming services. Whereas Urban Dictionary says we are an eccentric or theatrical person who is often overly positive and lacks self-awareness and lacks the self-awareness to know when people find them disruptive or annoyingly cloying. Well, I'm sure the truth lies somewhere in between, and in order to get to the bottom of this, we're going to need a Disney adult that we can all identify with. A wonderful person that will help us find the path through Figaro's Forest. And for that, I'm going to need some help from one of my greatest friends and mouseketeers that I know, the angel of the airwaves, the tricky, ticky, tocky jockey, your favorite and mine, Miss Drunk History herself, Adrienne Hamilton. Can you tell that we wanted to guinea pig this segment on each other before unleashing this insanity on the world at large? Well, let's get a couple drinks and sink back into the therapist chair as we unpack Adrienne's distery. We'll be right back. Hi, Adrienne.
Hi, Rye. I love our music for this segment because it's a little old school Epcot-y. A little cheeky.
Yeah, a little cheeky. Trying to get the energy up a little
get
bit.
Get the energy up.
See,
put the thinking cap on.
Yeah, see where we get.
The feeling heart.
Yeah. Do you have, do you need tissues? Do you need
I might. I've eyeballed. You've got some tissues inside of your tiki mug, and I will.
We've got a fresh box for you. Cry away.
Thank
it's
you.
Great
you
for the ratings.
Legit put a box of Kleenex in between the two of us. You know what? Not a stupid idea.
It's great for it's great for ratings when you cry on air.
Okay, I got it. I will produce as I go.
Yeah. This is a segment that we started with me. I was our first guinea pig, and now we're going to try to do this every month.
Yeah,
to bring on a new person, and now we're trying. You know, we learned a couple lessons from the first time. Now we're going to see how those lessons play out with you.
Well, that's why we do it on ourselves, right? Work out the kinks.
Yep.
And then we're going to get in some. We've got some cool people already that are lined up.
You got to Madame Curie this though, and test it on yourself first, right?
Yeah, you got to do it.
Okay,
you got to go first.
So we've got a bunch of questions that we've kind of come up with. You don't know your answers. You don't know what order they're going to come in. We're going to get to the bottom of your Disney bag.
Yeah. I mean, the goal is to see is there any common denominators here? Is there any sort of thing that leads one to become a Disney adult? And maybe after interviewing a good petri dish of people, we'll find out.
It's definitely going to be a petri dish, that's for sure. I'm excited to see what makes your Disney clock tick. So
there's two segments.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're going to do a main course first, which is going to be...
lobster?
It's going to be lobster. It's going to be, like a bunch of questions that, are going to really dive into, your Disney psyche.
Okay.
And then we'll do our rapid speedway, which is going to be like rapid round questions with, quick answers.
Quick answers.
Two sentence answers, something like that.
Got it.
We
start at the start?
We start at the start, and that's... how old were you when you first visited Disney to the theme parks? And, do you remember anything from that?
I believe I was eight.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but I believe I was eight. And I don't. This is an interesting thing I learned about myself. I don't know if I specifically remember the theme parks. I'm from New York. I fell in love, and this is weird, with Florida. And this is very weird, and I know that. But I gotta be honest. I gotta answer these questions honestly. We would go to Florida, and I thought of it as this tropical oasis.
Sure.
And the Florida vacation was like the me thinking like my parents are the greatest parents in the world. For they would work, and what they did was they would they had their regular jobs, but then in the summer, the late spring, early summer, they would work with a company that did prom photos.
Hmm.
And they would sell the packages, and that's how they made money for us to go to Disney in every August, whenever we could. You know, started.
So at the end of the prom season, they would...
Yeah, it was cool. Super, super cool of them. And we would go, we would do these like 2-week trips, but they weren't fully Disney. There was like we would spend like a week in Orlando, then we'd go to like another area of Florida, like Cocoa Beach or St. Petersburg or another one starts with an S, I forgot it. Sanibel Island. So we would kind of be like this hybrid trip.
Well, they kind of fell in love with Florida themselves, right? Because they ended up spending a good portion of their time there.
Well, now they're snowbirds and they're down there right now.
Yeah.
but yeah, and they even at that time they had owned a condo in Melbourne that they rented out. But so I just saw that whole trip as super exciting. Like we would wake up in the morning and go get Denny's for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And the Grand Slam breakfast at the time was like $3. And I thought that was the height of luxury. I'm like, my parents are taking us out to breakfast. Like this was just, I think my love, and this is where I'm going to start off kind of emotional, but I think about my love of Disney is kind of just like wrapped up in like loving my parents and thinking that they provided this amazing thing for me, my brother, and my sister, and we all did it together, and we all equally loved it. My mom loved it as much as I did. We would plan those Disney, just the way that people would be like, there used to be no planning on Disney trips. I don't know if that's 100% true, because... That's
100% not true.
Yeah, because we would, leading up to that Disney trip, my mom and I would break out a calendar, and we'd figure out which park we're going to which day, and where's the rest day in between that, and we loved that.
I remember, pencil handwritten full itineraries day by day. You know, this is where we're having breakfast. This is the park we're going to. This is where we're having lunch. This is, even if it was like a quick service type thing, it's like this is, we have our day.
We have our day planned. And you used to be able to park hopping wasn't like a rule based thing.
It wasn't a luxury at that point. It was just
you just did it. Yeah. And like we would do the whole multiple parks a day and. But we'd plan that out. Like, we're going to go here in the morning. We're going to go here in the early afternoon.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of So I don't specifically remember being in Disney. I've seen videos of it, of being at the Magic Kingdom. I don't know if it's a full memory. But, yeah, I think it was just...
Do you have, like, a first Disney memory? Not a Florida memory, but, like, a first, like, Disney memory?
I think my first Disney memory... It's something with Dumbo. It's being on Dumbo in some capacity.
Sure.
Also, with me kind of falling in love with Florida, we would stay at this resort called the Sheraton World Resort. It's no longer there. It's been bulldozed. Now it's a tower. They paved Paradise and put up a parking lot. And we thought this was like the most incredible. Like it was kind of like. It had a vibe of like a Caribbean beach.
Okay.
It was those two-story ones where you can kind of like wind through. It felt tropical. There was palm trees everywhere, and it had its own little deli. It was called Mel's Deli, and my mom would let us go and pick up the carrot cake in the evening. They were secretly watching us. We found this out years later, but we thought we were like on our own to go and get this carrot cake and hand them the money. It felt like very cool to be in a store by ourselves. But so this is my point of this is like it was just Orlando. It was just Florida where I was just like, I literally was that like song from the Mormon, Orlando. Like I just thought it was so cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
since then, how many times do you think that you've gone to Disney? You know, is it like, I guess we're talking like individual park days. So like under 50, under 100, 500.
I'd say under 500.
3,000.
Like it's between, you know, it's under 500.
Under 500?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like you're currently like too old to, I mean, I think I know the answer to this one, but like, do you feel like you're too old to go to Disney? Like,
No, but I have felt that way. I have felt like,
what was that like? Like when you felt that way, like what was happening that would make you feel like you were too old?
I think there was a shame. There was like a, you know, like I think because of just the connotation of what that place was or what it was deemed to be meant for, maybe made me think, am I too old to like this? Am I too old to...
stunting or something?
Yeah, I think similar to you, like, do I have some sort... You had mentioned in your episode, like, do I have some sort of, you know, arrested development? Subconsciously, I knew I didn't, but consciously, you do kind of sort of go, like, what is... Like, why do I like this so much? Yeah, I'm not foolproof of being someone who's like in the park. Are people looking at me for being here without children?
Sure.
Like I don't think if you're there with children, you experience it as much as you experience it without children. Like being an adult there without children, I think that's where for me it feels like the criticism, because I think you can get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's being a Disney adult, and then there's being a Disney adult like on a solo trip, where I think that those feelings come in, you know, much more hard and fast, right?
But I've been a Disney adult with other Disney adults, and still felt that thing of like not being there with children as is this weird. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I don't know if I personally... If you're asking me if I feel it, I don't think it's weird, because I know that those rides are not, like, the ride vehicles were designed to be made where an adult sits on it with... Can sit on it with a child.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm not... I don't feel like I'm too big in terms of, like, it's, like, physically not for me. I felt that at other places.
Sure. I mean, like, do you think that they're, like... when you're at Disney, are there certain rides or attractions that are, you know, less geared towards adults that you feel that you shy away from? Like, I certainly feel that way. Like, Disneyland, Casey Jr.'s train, not riding it because it makes me feel weird to be put in a little cage and go on the, you know...
Sure, I feel like maybe about the Barnstormer.
That's the one that I was thinking of for the Kingdom for sure.
Sure, yeah, but I think, you know, overall, it's a weird thing, but it's not me thinking that. It's thoughts that have been put in my head.
So, do these thoughts persist as like in your current? Like, I'm assuming that you associate yourself as a Disney adult.
Yeah.
Is that fair? That's a fair assumption with you.
Yeah, I think so.
So like, were these thoughts like persistent in this thought process as well? Like, for me, a lot of those thoughts of like the judgy thing was like in like a time before where I am now in my Disney adult like comfortability. Like when I was more like a closeted Disney adult, you know?
I've never been a closeted Disney adult.
Yeah. Okay. So you like. You've always, you know, kind of had like the same.
I've always let feeling. That freak flag fly, only because I come from, and this is maybe even like I used to do stand up comedy. I always feel like if I, whatever the joke is, or whatever I deem as the punchline, or whatever I deem as something that somebody could hold against me, I say it first. If you know that I'm comfortable with it, you can't.
You don't
hurt
me.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I feel like I've in reference to being a Disney adult, I've always, I'm a Disney adult. Yeah, I like Disney. Yeah, I like going to Disney. Yeah. And I will look you in the eye and hold it.
even if you, like, within yourself have, like, an uncomfortability at whatever
given moment. It's probably a fake it till you make it, but not because... But I don't have any sort of thing where I think it's wrong, but I know what I think other people think.
Yeah, yeah. You don't like the perceived judgment.
Yeah.
What, I mean, like, you know, because who knows what they're actually thinking, right? Like, that... You know,
they could be thinking nothing.
Yeah, that person on the bench that, like, is looking towards you could be, like, you know, thinking into space about how he has taxes to pay or something.
And there's many people who've heard me say it, and then, like, you heard me say it, and it was a way to connect on it.
Of course.
You know, I think that's why you got to say things, because if I didn't say it, we might not be as close friends as we were.
I don't think we would be.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really like your personality.
So. Ditto.
So with like being a Disney adult, what is your definition of what a Disney adult is?
I think it's like I said, I think it's anybody could be a Disney adult if you're a tax paying adult who enjoys all things. It could be anything associated with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to just be the parks. It can be movies or whatever. However, I think the modern definition of a Disney adult, to me, somebody that would maybe be cast as a Disney adult would be someone that would be childless. Because I know that there's going to be many people listening to this that are like, you know, I have kids and I'm a Disney adult. I understand that, but I think, like, in the sense of, like...
Well, everybody's definition is going to be different, right?
Yeah, like, I think in mine, you would probably... they used to call us childless millennials. There was a joke about that. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. Oh, the childless millennials are here. I don't know. For me, it's like, I think anybody can be... My friend Will has kids. My friend, you know, millions of people have kids.
I don't know that it's like whether you have kids or not. It's that you're going to be a fan of this thing with or without those kids. Like, if those kids decide that they're not into it, you're still into
it. So that's the difference, is that even if there's no kids around, if you're still into it, I think you're a Disney adult.
Mm, got you. So Disney adults have weird... It's been a history of, like, weird portrayals of a Disney adult in, you know, media and things like that, pop culture. Do you think that, you know, the way that it's perceived is the, like, an accurate representation? I mean, you know far more Disney adults than I do. I mean, I only know a few, but through, you know, you've had great success with, you know, like, media, with social media
stuff. Yeah.
The ability to meet
hundreds. The question is, do I think it's an actual portrayal of an accurate portrayal of a Disney? In some senses, I do think that what happens, particularly in media, in any kind of media, is there will be a couple of clips or a couple of stories that get replayed over and over again. And I'm on someone that's on TikTok. There's like four videos that constantly will be referenced, where it shows someone crying in front of the castle or crying meeting a character, and they'll just show those videos and what they deem as over-the-top reactions. I don't think everybody has those reactions at all. I think that's a percent. There are people that have those reactions.
Sure.
But there are people that don't. I'll be vulnerable and say there used to be a thing called the Welcome Show at the Magic Kingdom.
This is like for rope dropping?
For rope drop. And it was a train that would come in, and you would hear all of a sudden, you'd hear this like, welcome, welcome, welcome. I would cry every single time. I don't know what it was about that specific thing, but I couldn't not cry. That doesn't exist anymore. So I don't know if there's so many things now that I cry about. Sometimes the fireworks will get me.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it. Yeah. The fireworks might get me. My point is, though, like, it's accurate for the people that do have those reactions, but I don't think everybody does. I think we started this podcast to show that there are different types of Disney adults.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the type that are the crunchy, you know, granola Disney adults that in that same vein, we're not the type of Disney adults that are for everybody. I experienced that on my social media. So there are people that they just want to hear just the happy things, and they just want everything to be super, you know, everything's great, and that's not the types of Disney adults that we are. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there's all different types of Disney adults.
Sure. Okay. When you talk about like how you've had, you know, different emotions throughout the years, throughout, mm-hmm. you know, how has your fandom changed over those years? Like, has it grown? Has it waned? You know, what are like the causes of the ebb and flow of like how you feel about Disney?
In various points of my life.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, like, when you were in college, you had like one sensation about Disney. Later on, you know, something completely different. Like, what are things that you've done in your life that have like had your relationship change? Like the ebb and flow of, you know, being a fan, being less of a fan. You know, obviously there's a through line of like, I'm a fan, but sometimes you're like really gung ho, and sometimes you're like, oh, you know, I like it.
I think. For me personally, I think I've probably always been pretty ride or die. I mean, obviously there were portions of my life where I think now as an annual pass holder, I've gone way more than I've ever gone, but I've always consistently gone since childhood. I know you had a long break. I never did. I always would make sure to get down there. It was very important to me to experience the magic as often as I could.
But even off of like off property, you know, like even if you're not in Florida, like you keep up with, you know, the latest and greatest, and you know that hasn't always been like the case. Like, you know, I mean, before, you know, we had internet all of a sudden, and like, you know, now other streamers and things like that were able to get a lot more information. That's a big one for me. Like, you know, having YouTube as like an accessible media, all of a sudden I was seeing like a lot more Disney content than ever. And like Disney became more important in my life because I was kept abreast of like, you know, the latest goings on, and because that was the stuff that I liked. Mm-hmm. Has there been stuff like that in your life that is like triggered, you know, more of a sense of community within Disney than not? Or has it just been like, you know, solo journey, I go to the parks, you know, day, you know, year in, year out, whatever?
I don't know if it's ever just been a solo journey, because I think I started out never going solo. I didn't go solo until I was in my 30s, I don't think. I think, you know, it intensified. So a lot of people don't realize this, but like, we started this podcast before I started TikTok. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think TikTok came first, and then I was just like, oh, we should start a podcast. But we started this podcast first.
We were in for over a year, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, it was a while. And yeah, I think doing this podcast with you and talking about it at the level that we did definitely intensified it.
Sure.
And
yeah, same thing the other way.
And I will say, it's still, this podcast as opposed to my TikTok, And I've thought about this a lot, is my favorite thing, doing this podcast with you, because we have such a great like a rapport, and we can talk about all these things and get each other, and it's just still my favorite thing. And
I need the box of tissues.
look at this act. He has glasses on and he's wiping his lenses. I love doing this podcast with you, and I hope we could do it for as long as people listen. And even if they don't, we can do it at a bar somewhere, just like it started.
It's how it started, it's how it's gonna end.
Yeah.
So have you ever personally gotten any kind of backlash from being a Disney adult? You know, and if so, you know, what's the story behind that? Where are you getting that backlash from?
I think initially probably the only like sort of comments I would get. I never really got comments from family. I mean, from friends. I would get comments from family of, like, you're going again. Like, it was never negative, but it would be like, you're going again. Like, that's sort of like, which we've all experienced as...
You're choosing to use your money that way.
Yeah, like, yes. A little bit of a judgment of using my money that way. That's definitely stopped. Personally, though, I had an experience in the park where I was walking by myself toward... This is right when Rise opened in Hollywood Studios. And I was walking to Rise. It's like the... It wasn't even super early. We weren't rope dropping it, but, like, everyone was kind of heading that way. And there was a man with his son. I might have talked about this on the podcast. And he was like, he looked directly at me and then said to his son, this is why there's all these long lines, because there's adults that come here without children. And then he looks at me, he's like, could you imagine, he's like talking to his son, coming here without a child? That is weird. And then he like bolted ahead of me. He definitely wanted me to hear that. It was 100% just like he wanted me to hear that. I don't think it was a great lesson for his son.
No.
and it at the time it was, you know, I knew it was his problem. It's not my problem.
For sure.
Like I didn't personalize it that way. But I had this thing where I was just like you kind of are like this person believes that their experience is hindered because of me, because I'm one person walking towards Rise of the Resistance, and I'm ruining his kid's vacation. And it was a weird uncomfortable feeling. But even like with doing this podcast, with having a TikTok, I mean, especially with the TikTok, you have the comments are open.
Oh, yeah.
And comment sections can be very scary. I will say in my little corner of TikTok, it has been, knock on Famica, extremely supportive, extremely...
Same thing with the podcast.
With the podcast.
All of our comments are very gracious.
Yeah, so I don't ever get anything from being out in the realm. I don't really get anything, but I've seen it. You know, I've been witness to it, of other people getting it.
Sure.
And that sucks.
Yeah, and when the dog bites, it bites ruthlessly.
Yeah. I mean, it's... And I've just seen... There's just, like... I saw one today that was, like, some guy talking about the Super Bowl. And they were like, you think that they'll go to... This was maybe, yes, the day before the Super Bowl. So they were like, you think they're going to go to Disney World? And then the guy immediately goes, adults that go to Disney World are fucking weird. This was a guy talking about his predictions for a football game, in his mind, of what he believed would happen in the football game, mm-hmm, saying that mm-hmm. things are ridiculous. So I always kind of just consider the source, and that's been my, like, with that man with the child, like, I'm always like, this is not really about me. And if you, what I think happens a lot is, like, a lot of things in my life that I ever judged, I can look back even in childhood, and I can be like, you could look at like theater kids and be like, oh, I remember people would make fun of theater kids or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, whatever those things are. Where I am right now, I'm like, that is the coolest fucking... I wish I was a fucking theater kid. Like, yeah. I look back on that now. I love going to Broadway plays. I love show... Those people are so freaking talented. The kids that go to band camp, you know how much hooking up they were doing? They were in the woods.
Yeah.
Hooking up.
Putting flutes
in. Everyone's
pussies.
Like, oh, look at these dorks in band camp.
We've all seen American Pie. We know how it goes.
Yeah. And so it's one of these things where I look at it and I go, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Because if I look at those things from a, you know, whatever, 3,000, you know, view lens now that I looked at one time and I judged them, I don't want to ever look back at the time I had now and be like, well, that was so cool. Like, I feel like those people will look back and be like, those people were like hanging around in the parks, eating churros, drinking moonshine sours, and having the best time. Like, that's so cool. Like, and I think what happens in life is that people will see people having fun, and it bothers them. It bothers them on a level because they're not having that fun. So they're like, no, stop having fun. I'm going to shame you so that you stop having fun, so that I don't have to think about my life as any less fun. If you're not having fun, then I don't have to be like, then me not having fun is fine. So that's kind of the view that I put that through as well, is that I know that all things that I once maybe thought something about in any way, I now I'm like, I wish I did that thing.
Totally. And the drama nerd is perfect. I remember having like the catharsis in high school and being like, oh, these drama geeks, and then being like, but like we call them geeks now, and then they become movie stars, and then we worship them.
Yeah.
So like, where's the dividing line? And I was like, I guess there is no. This doesn't make any. It's like it's fine. They're fine.
I was a Girl Scout in high school. That was not a cool thing to be.
Well, this is new.
Yeah, that was not a cool thing to be.
Rope tying Adrian. Huh?
But looking back on it, I'm like. There I was, 14, 15 years old, wearing a little blue vest with stupid patches on it, with my friends, surrounded by cookies.
What was your best patch? What was the patch you were most proud of?
Remember there was one that had two shoes on it. I think it was like a hiking patch. Meanwhile, we probably did like a lap around the...
Around the gym,
but I remember... But, you know, like, looking back at that, I'm like, that was a great thing for my college application. Like, I could have done none of that and because of fear of something.
Sure.
I'm so glad I did it. And I didn't let that, I shut that voice off.
There's very little in life that if you give it the opportunity and go after something that you're going to regret.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's an opportunity.
And if your
like
regret
that.
Is, like, people are going to think this is dorky or lame. That shouldn't be the gate it goes through.
Sure.
It should be, is this fun? Regardless of what they're saying, is this fun? Do I have fun doing this? If the answer is yes, then do it. We always say Disney's selling fun. That's literally what they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
If it stops being fun, then I won't go.
Yeah.
But I'm still having fun.
Of course. That's why we don't go to Six Flags.
Yeah, I don't have fun there.
Yeah. It's true. Let's see. How about, have you ever been a cast member?
I have, yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I was in the college program, and I worked at the ABC Commissary in Hollywood Studios, scooping chili.
Scooping chili.
Yeah. I also worked like wiping down the tables, and I would, you know, sometimes go out front and throw a frisbee. And
okay.
I got to wear a green apron, which I think they still wear to this day.
Did you get to keep your uniform?
No. You can't do that. No. You'll be banned for life. No.
Just spill a little chili on that.
You don't do that.
Spill a little chili. Say, I'll take it home. I'll put some OxyClean on it.
You had to sign those in and out. I mean, it wasn't my dream role. I remember when at that time... You got a letter saying you got accepted, and then a couple weeks later they told you what your role was.
Can you imagine if your dream role was chili scooper?
Chili scooping at ABC Commissary. You had to like select, like, do you want to be in like entertainment? The last thing and the two jobs that were at the bottom were either like cleaning,
janitorial services,
janitorial and food service.
Sure.
And I got food service. I was like, okay, whatever. But what I really cared about was like, I was just like, I want to be in Epcot. I want to be in Epcot, and I don't care if I'm scooping chili in Epcot. And then I was like, if I don't get in Epcot, I want to be in the Magic Kingdom. I'll scoop chili in the Magic Kingdom. And then I got, I think, I don't, maybe Animal Kingdom wasn't, I didn't even consider it. I never do. but that would have bummed me out if it was Animal Kingdom. But I remember getting Hollywood Studios and being like kind of bummed out about it. But now, like, but then when I was there, it was the best of them because it wasn't open as long.
Mm.
The hours were shorter. And the park was smaller. And I don't know, there was something about, like, walking through. I had to walk under the Star Tours thing and hearing the Star Wars music every morning.
Yeah, that's pretty special.
And it was pretty dope.
Did your time working for them make you, did it change your perception of the company or your Disney experience? Like, how did it sculpt your view?
Yeah, because that's a fear, right? That you see the man behind the curtain and
yeah,
you're going to be like, ew.
Yeah, how I the mean, sausage is made.
Yeah, you do see the dirtier side of Disney. I mean, like, my nightly job was to go to the very back and turn off the vats of the kegs, and, like, it's not pretty back there.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
Okay. Not even a little bit. And I don't know why. It's, I think.
What's that video they show you guys, like, right off the bat?
Traditions?
Yeah, traditions. That's
what, oh, yeah. That's like the brainwashing ceremony. Yeah. I'll never forget just one line that was said to me. It was about, like, said to the class that was about, like, Universal. They were like, they're good, but we're nicer. And that's what we do here. We're nicer.
And it's true.
And I was like, that was all they had to say. And I was like, I got it. I know I got what I'm supposed to do. Let me out. Let me go. Put me on stage. Like, I got the message loud and clear. But
I mean, I think that's it too, right? Is like, let me on stage. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's what the language is. Like, that you're there's a
pride,
cast member.
There's pride in that. And when you get your badge and your name is on it and you're working.
Do you still have your badge?
I do. I had two of them and I still have them. That's nice. Yeah, and I sometimes will stumble upon them. They're in like a memory box, and I'm always like, "Wow, that's crazy." So yeah, there's pride there. I was immediately like, once I was done, I was immediately going, you know, back to going once a year. And
sure, sure.
And
this is, you were a college program, right?
Yeah.
So what would your dream role have been at that age? And then if you could get a role now, what would your dream role be?
At that age, it was definitely Epcot, and I wanted to work at, like, Spaceship Earth. I wanted to wear, like something spacey.
Ride load type thing.
Yeah, I wanted to work on a ride, and I wanted to wear, like, some sort of spacey thing that only feels, like, organic to Disney, which is why I think when I was in Hollywood Studios, like, I was wearing an apron, and I didn't feel like I was so...
Sure.
I wanted to be transformed. I wanted my costume to be a costume.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really a costume.
Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
You would look good in the Haunted Mansion.
I would crush that. Yeah. I would do great on that. But that was always like, it's funny the way you think of those things. Like, that was like, that was a upper echelon of a college program. I was way too young to do the college program. I was 18 years old. I was a freshman.
Oh, you did it like right off the bat.
Yeah, so I didn't have like the crazy like spring break level experience that everyone had.
You couldn't go drinking with the
no,
the
they're crew. Very strict.
Yeah,
they were at that time at least, and I just felt like I had one other roommate. We had six roommates, and my four of them were older than me and thought they were way cooler than me, and I was a little loser. And me and my other roommate, she was 18 too. We just kind of like. She's Ty, if she's listening. We recently connected on social media. Hey, Ty. We would just kind of hang out in the apartment. Like, the biggest outing would be going to the Walmart to get food. Like, that's where you do your shopping.
Wow.
I remember just sleeping a lot, but I did make a lot of money because I didn't spend any money.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't, like, you know, they're like, oh, Disney doesn't pay really well. They don't, but I didn't spend money.
They, like, provided meals and stuff?
No, no, no. It comes out of your lodging, comes out of your paycheck.
Oh, okay.
You were responsible for your meals, which is why you go to Walmart and go food shopping. But that was all I was doing, was spending money on buying some stuff at Walmart. We didn't have, like, Uber Eats back then, so it wasn't, like, sure, blowing sure. money. I actually came back to college sophomore year with, like, $2,000 or $3,000, and it was like, whoa. At that time, I was, like, loaded.
Yeah, a lot of churros.
So that was cool.
What would your dream role be?
Like, now?
Yeah.
I'd want to be something like either a villain character,
mm-hmm.
or I'd want to work on either Tower of Terror or Haunted Mansion. I want to be like sort of surly in a joking way.
And like, yeah, be like on stage.
Yeah, I never wanted to be an Imagineer because mm-hmm. I didn't want to be a behind the scenes person. I would want to be on stage.
Sure, sure.
But I mean, part of the reason why I, like, a lot of people will leave the college program and be like, they'll do it again, mm-hmm. or they'll literally never leave Orlando and just like stay indefinitely. That was not the case for me. I did not want to work there.
Mm.
I learned that I did not want to work there.
While working there.
I had these managers who were very professional people who were treated like absolute garbo day in and day out. And I was just like, oh, that sucks. And then they had to like work every holiday, every weekend, long, super long hours. And I was like, yeah, I don't want that to be my life. So I have respect for the cast for that reason of like, it's tough. And I understand why people are, you know, kind of like they don't want to be a cast member anymore because it could be sort of, it's a lot.
Sure, sure. So as a Disney adult, you know, you have friends that maybe aren't so into, you know, Disney. Do you actively try to convert your friends? You know, how do you share your love for the mouse without compromising friendships and people that are in your life that are not into it?
So I've realized my powers of persuasion don't work on everybody.
Okay.
I've tried.
It's shocking.
Yeah. I thought I was good at that.
You are.
Yeah, but
not everybody.
Not everybody. There's people in my life that have been very, very impervious to it. Do I actively try to convert? I try to explain.
Okay, fair. That's fair.
I try to educate. I just try to, like, I guess it's like squashing. It's almost like you have to. This is why people
explain
think it's,
yourself.
This is why people think it's cultish, though, because in for people to, it's not because we're a cult. It's because, in order for people to give it a chance post adolescence, it requires you to like explain, like it's not what you think it is. And this all sounds like cult language. It's not what you think it is.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I can show you that fun if you allow me to.
And
when
Kool-Aid.
And when I do, you're going to be hooked for life. Now it sounds like I'm David Miscavige.
Yeah.
I'm Tom Cruise. But
you're Mike Eisner. I mean, it's one and the same.
But I believe that. I believe that if anybody gives any of us a chance, we can convert them to the dark side.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question.
Have you gotten that chance with friends like that you've taken that are first timers or?
So my best friend, Stephanie, she lived in Orlando. Like after we all graduated college, she lived in Orlando with another one of my sorority sisters. 70s was in my sorority, and she was not a Disney. Even when she lived there, they loved being in Orlando for Orlando's sake, and they were having like a great.
They love Florida.
Yeah, who knew? who does? then like years later, I was like, me and my sister are going to Disney. Do you want to come? And she's like, I used to live there. I didn't know it. Now she freaking loves them. She's been on our podcast. Mm-hmm. She freaking loves the Magic Kingdom. The Magic Kingdom's her favorite. And like, she's just like, when you're there with her, she's just laughing the whole time. And she'll literally say like, when I was here, I didn't give it the chance.
She did Peter Pan with us.
She loves Peter Pan, yeah.
Yeah, she did Peter Pan with us way back in the day.
Yeah, so she loves, you can go back and listen. But she was a convert because she had even been so close to it and didn't go. But yeah, I've tried with other people and I haven't been successful.
yeah, it's tough. I agree. For you, is Disney just a place to get a good churro or does it... Does it
heal something?
Does it? Is it magic?
Yes, you? It heals something.
What? Like what? What is that? What? Like?
I don't go through life. I don't know in the state that I feel like I am in when I'm in Disney. So I think it gives me a little bit of hope that like that there's a place where I can go and I could feel happy and know that like we've talked in our episodes about restaurants, like the ideal restaurant is a consistently good restaurant. Disney has been consistently good to me. I've seen it from the backstage. I still found it to be good to me. I was an awkward child when I was young. I was very shy when I was younger. I'm not who I am today. I didn't become sort of like this loud, sort of boisterous person until I went to college. But like before that, I was a very shy, sort of awkward child. I had like a couple of friends, you know, that were close friends, but otherwise I was kind of afraid of people. But the times when I would go to Disney with my family, that went away. That like, those were the exception. It was the exception to the rule.
You would feel like more like yourself, like the.
I feel like the me now.
The me now.
Yeah, the me now that wasn't the me the other 350 days of 52 days of the year was, and I'm super grateful for that.
For sure.
And I love that there's a place that allowed that. I don't.
What do you think about it? Like, what about Disney or about Florida or about those trips allowed for the freedom to be the goofball, to be the loud, to be the comfortable in your own skin? Like, what?
I think
what
it's different? The same things that you're persecuted, not persecuted, that's a strong word, but that you're judged for now as an adult, you weren't judged for then. Mm. So, like, as a child, like, I feel like I had a constant fear of being judged if I said anything. And that's why they even say, like, shyness is actually, like, a form of narcissism, because you're just, you're shy because you're so worried about what everyone's going to think about what you say. So maybe self-obsession is the right word. I don't know. But so I feel like...
Let's make the shy kids feel worse.
Yeah. Oh, I was that kid.
I know, me too.
But so then when I was there, I didn't have that. Like, it's like, you know, to exist there was to be the opposite of that. I couldn't be that because it got me. Like, it was like the smile came, the music, all these things that it did to my senses, the food, the you know, being with my family, and we would go with extended family too, and we'd meet kids at the pool, and everyone was happy to be there, and everyone was having a good time, and it allowed me to, like, just let it go.
Nice. Yeah, riding that high.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That vacation high is real. It's real
deal. It's real. And I think, like, if you could be like, well, you're not that way as an adult, so why do you still need to go there? Because those neural pathways are carved deep in my brain. Yeah. And
it brings it all back. Yeah. And yeah. And when it comes back, that is a healing moment. I mean,
it is a healing moment, yeah. And I hope that never goes away.
I hope it never goes away for you too, Adrian.
Thanks, dude.
You ready for some Tomorrowland rapid speedway? Yeah, I know that you want to be Canadian, please. Even if I don't know what that is.
That's definitely not the jingle for this.
we got tunes.
This is our segment break. Changing gears here. I survived the first round. Thank you.
You did great.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for opening up to all of us.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Tomorrowland Rapid Speedway. All answers in less two sentences or less. Adrian, do you have what it takes to answer these hard-hitting questions?
Yes, I hope so, Ryan.
Number one.
Okay.
Genie Plus, yay or nay?
Genie Plus or nah?
Yeah.
Genie Plus. I'm all for throwing money at things to make my life easier.
Okay, that's fair. Canada, Mexico, France, or the UK?
Canada, baby. Oh, Canada. Or France.
I wish I had like a sound all loaded up, but I don't.
No, that's so. The right way. You can look at the guidebooks.
So you go Canada or France?
I go Canada or France.
What is your home resort?
I haven't stayed there in a while because... my home resort is pricey, but it's the Riverside, Port Orleans Riverside.
Okay. Which member of the Sensational Six do you identify the most with?
I I think it's goofy because...
I agree.
Because, you know, you're like, you don't even need to explain. But, you know, Goofy is like main character adjacent, and I feel like that's like kind of always me. Like, when I was in my sorority, I was the vice president. I shine as like... as like the main character, being the helper of the main character.
Okay.
And he's also goofy. And
I think of you as a main character.
And he's a single dad who works real hard.
Just like you. Is there a Disney adult activity that you're interested in but you've never tried?
That I'm interested in but I've never tried? No.
Tried at all?
No, just not interested.
Which is a bigger crime, wearing Disney clothes to Universal or wearing Universal clothes to Disney?
I have a strong stance on this. Okay. It's wearing Disney clothes to Universal. Because you know what? There's nothing more disrespectful than walking around Diagon Alley with Mickey ears on. I feel like, you know what? No.
Nah?
No, don't do that. And I've seen people in Disney wearing like a Jurassic Park shirt. And I'm like, you know what? There's nothing like offensively, like if you're walking around, I've never seen anybody walking around Disney with like a cloak and a magic wand.
Oh, I have.
You have?
Yeah, I've seen Harry Potter kids, for sure.
I haven't seen Harry Potter kids, but I feel like it's disrespectful to go to Universal with Mickey ears on.
With ears, I kind of buy it, but like a Mickey t-shirt, you know, you do you.
Yeah, I just feel like it's like, you know what, it will always be... They can build all the epic universes that they want. But they will always play second fiddle. And I feel like that's why it's a little disrespectful to me. Like, if you're going there, let them have their moment. Put on anything else.
Okay.
That's my vibe. That's
your
my
vibe.
Feeling. Yeah.
Okay. Finish this statement. Adults who cry when they see the castle or meet their favorite costume Disney characters are blank.
People.
Aw, they're people.
Yeah, they're people just like me and you.
Soylent Green is people. What is a Disney adult activity that doesn't interest you?
Any of them besides the parks.
The parks are the one.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Do you like wearing cute clothes and stuff? Disney clothes?
To Disney?
Like, yeah.
I consider that the park.
Okay, that's all
park. I think it's all park related. I mean, I will watch the movies, but not really.
Okay. Not so into other...
There's so many very popular Disney movies that I have never seen. And it's offensive to people to find out.
Yeah, Brother Bear, I know.
Lilo and Stitch.
Well, that's a mistake, come on.
I know.
What is, would you want to live close to a Disney park?
I thought so. And I still think so. But okay. I started this episode off as a love letter to Florida. But I don't know. I like, you know how they say it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there? Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel about Florida. I think, like, if I lived there, it would lose its luster.
Okay.
I like Florida because people really shit on Florida. But Florida's people shit on Florida, but you know it's America's winter playground, and I don't know if I would live there.
Okay, that's fair. Do you have any other non-park Disney infatuations like movies, characters, games, toy collections, art, clothes, pins, mugs? Mugs.
No.
You're such a liar.
I have some mugs. Yeah, look, having four or five mugs makes me a collector.
Yeah, you've got some paraphernalia. I've been to your place.
You're painting a really weird picture here. First of all, you go to my place. If anybody goes to my place, you would not have any clue that I'm a Disney adult. It is not obvious.
Okay. It's not obvious. I will go with that. But it's there. It's in the details.
Okay, but that's you being able to notice that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that the naked... I don't think that somebody... if you really, really look at anything, you can see anything.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like you like being surrounded with these objects. It's not like you're just there at the parks and like you leave it. You don't leave it in Florida. You bring it home.
There's things I buy. I mean, I do have like I have some items that I really love. I have the teacups mm-hmm. as cups. And I think that they're very pretty. I have a teacup bag that I have kind of on display. But do I collect them? No.
Okay. Bags, sweatshirts, or ears?
This is crazy, but I used to be such an ear person. Mm-hmm. That has changed.
Oh, okay.
I rarely wear mini ears or Mickey ears. I have one pair of black Mickey ears I will throw on with an outfit, but mostly I'm a hat girl.
Okay.
It's hat girl summer.
Hat girl summer and winter and fall.
Yeah, I don't know. I something shifted with me with the ears. I've gotten, but never a spirit jersey. Loungefly, I have like one or two.
Okay. If you knew it was the last 10 minutes that you were ever going to spend in a Disney park, what would you do and how would you savor it?
I think I'd want it to be similar to like the what I feel at the end of a trip. I'd want it to be night. I'd want to be at the Magic Kingdom. I'd want it to be the end of the day. Like, I wouldn't want it to be where people are, like, coming in. Because if there's one thing that gets my jealousy bone going, it's seeing people arrive at their Disney vacation when mine is ending.
Okay.
So if it's my last time in the park, I don't want to see... I want us all to be leaving the park for the day. Because I don't want to think, like, oh. And I would definitely be in Magic Kingdom, and that's interesting because I'm an Epcot girl. But I would be at Magic Kingdom, and I think it would be very similar to yours. I feel like I would spend some time in the hub. I wouldn't get a Dole Whip, though. I maybe would have some popcorn. And I'd get a popcorn and a frozen Minute Maid lemonade from the cart over in Frontierland. Those are my favorite snacks.
With, like, the waxy coating on them? Huh? They used to have, like, a waxy coating on them.
No. This is from a machine.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, sorry. So it's a Minute Maid frozen lemonade. It's in this like it's in the cart by in Frontierland. Me and my sister feel like we're the only people that like it, but it's still there. Some of those people must be still eating it. I get that and the popcorn. I'd go hang out in the hub, stare at the castle a bit. I wouldn't have any ear. I'd want to hear it all. I want to hear the sounds, and I want to hear the kids laughing, and I want to hear the people. I would love if the fireworks were going off.
Mm.
I think that would be special. And then I think I would just slowly walk down Main, and I'd probably say goodbye and just say thanks for everything.
I love it. Describe your love for Disney in 3 words.
Hopefully never ends.
Aww. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, Adrian. That's the end of our rapid round and the end of our questions in total. It's been amazing that, you know, after spending 4 years talking Disney with you, week in, week out, I can
there's still stuff to learn.
I can still learn new shit about you.
I was a Girl Scout in high school.
yeah, and it's all about, you know, unpacking each other's distory.
Yeah, there's a distory behind every Disney adult.
Yep. In closing, The Dark Ride is presented by Drunk Distory and is available every Wednesday on iTunes and Spotify and wherever else you're getting podcasts. The show is free, but you can always pay us by simply liking and subscribing, giving us a 5-star rating and a quick review. Those really, really help us out. You can also help us by just telling a fellow Disney Parks loving friend to listen. If you don't tell them, they're not going to know about us. So feel free to hit us up on at drunkdistory@gmail.com for comments and, you know, anything. And please follow us on our socials, Instagram at The Dark Ride Podcast and TikTok at Drunk Distory. Adrian, as you almost undoubtedly know, puts on so much great theme parks content, especially Disney content, on that TikToky and on the Instagram. Thanks for joining us, and remember to always keep your kingdom cool.